It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. Often when people hear the word nutrition, they think of tofu, or they think of calorie restriction, you know, a weight loss diet. That four-letter word diet often pops up in their minds, and, you know, they really don't want to eat low-fat and poor-tasting foods, so they kind of reject it. But therapeutic nutrition means much more than diet. So today, my co-host, Cara Carper, and I would like to share a few examples of the types of people that we can help use when we're using nutrition as the solution. You know, Cara is a nutrition educator and a counselor at our Wayzata and St. Paul offices. She has a master's degree in holistic health. She's been on our staff at Nutritional Weight and Wellness for the past 4 years. Imagine that. So, hi. Welcome, Cara.
Thank you, Dar. You're right. So many people believe that nutrition equates to weight loss. And for some clients, for many clients, that is their goal. But as I think about my clients, even just this past month, their goals have been not only to lose weight, but also to manage pain coming from fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce depression and anxiety, balance blood sugar and insulin resistance. One client had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And then, of course, to get more sleep.
Okay. So a lot of other health problems. And, you know, let me share some examples of clients that I have seen recently. And I always see a lot of clients. So this week, one of my clients, he has actually has experienced digestive problems his whole life. You know, he remembers having them when he was a child. He also is experiencing chronic fatigue, experiencing depression, experiencing anxiety, and, of course, a very serious sleep problem.
And another client I saw last week was having hot flashes, night sweats, and, again, problems sleeping through the night.
So, you know, another client that I saw this week was experiencing serious memory problems, you know, lots of aches and pains, weight gain, high cholesterol numbers, higher than normal blood sugar levels, and, of course, very serious sleep problems. And, Cara, you know, one of the things that I just want to point out, both of these examples that I'm talking about were men.
And both of mine were women, so it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, so we see even
We do see male clients, yes.
So I think some people don't realize that we do see quite a few men as clients.
Yes, we do. So therapeutic nutrition means addressing the health concerns of each client in a very careful and systematic manner and letting nutrition be the solution to their health problems.
So many clients have problems sleeping, and we really understand that it is critical to help people get at least 7 hours of sleep a night. Now, if you're a person that's listening out there and you're only getting 5 or 6, and I'm saying it's critical to get 7, but we know even better that it's better, much better, to get 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night if you don't want to have health problems. I mean, it's really critical.
Let's look at how lack of sleep is affecting our health. Lack of sleep not only affects adults, it also has very damaging effects on teenagers. And think about teens who are up late text messaging or on the computer playing games, or maybe they're studying and they're probably not getting 8 hours of sleep per night. They are at risk of altering their basic metabolic functions.
You know, Cara, I have had a lot of mothers who have brought their teenage boys and girls in, and they're concerned about the fact that they're not getting enough sleep, but they honestly, sometimes they don't know what to do about it. So, you know, I say, well, you know, you have to take some of these things away sometimes. And or I think when they're seeing a professional person and the teenager is told, hey, you know, it's better for you to get some sleep, they often comply. It's much better than just mom telling them. I mean, I think you probably have felt that too.
Yeah, that's why we do get a lot of teenagers coming in with their parents, because we're telling them the information. They're not hearing it from just mom and dad.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, back to the risk of altering their basic metabolic functions, there's researchers at the University of Chicago found that young, healthy adults deprived of sleep for 5 consecutive nights had profound alterations in their glucose metabolism. So in some subjects, the results resembled patients that have type 2 diabetes.
So just think about this a minute. You know, a lack of sleep. Now, we're only talking about 5 consecutive nights. Those young men had impaired glucose tolerance. And, you know, what does that really mean, impaired glucose tolerance? It means it's an early symptom of diabetes. So that's all you have to do is not sleep, you know, sleep 4 or 5 hours a night and for about 5 nights, and you mess with your blood sugar control.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
It is. Do you mind if I jump in with a story about a client?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It's a client that I had yesterday, and Mary, I don't know if you're listening. You said you might be listening today, but you said I could tell the story. But, you know, Mary was having a lot of sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
Her goal in the morning was to not fall asleep at the stop sign by her house in her car on her way to work.
On the way to work?
On the way to work.
Wow.
That is how exhausted she was. She was not sleeping. And she does have 5 children, so we can understand there's a lot going on in the house. But after I met with her, she's sleeping 8 hours a night.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
She could not be happier about it.
Oh, the people are so thankful when they can sleep. It's just amazing, isn't it? Yes. Oh,
that's
a great story. So we'll have to ask you later, what did you help Mary do that changed?
Yes, we can talk about that later.
Okay. You know, a study reported in March of 2008 from the University of Washington found lack of sleep may also be bad for the brain. They found that shift workers, nurses, and sleep-deprived people may have an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease, even bipolar disease, and they certainly have more learning problems and they have more mood problems. Kind of interesting, I think.
And I know so many students that are pulling all-nighters, studying for an exam, thinking that they'll do so much better by staying up all night. But research shows that learning is enhanced if it is immediately followed by sufficient sleep. So students are going to do better on tests if they get a good night's sleep and then take a test.
Yeah.
Well, when I was an undergrad,
yes.
I used to do the same thing.
You just pulled all-nighters.
I would pull all-nighters, or I'd just get a couple hours of sleep. And I needed caffeine just to even get through the day. And I know I was foggy and not clear during the exams.
But then when you were a grad student, you didn't do that any longer, I bet.
No, I didn't. I mean, you know, grad students, it's like a lot of us are working, and you can't afford to miss a night's sleep like that.
Right. So, Carol, we have a caller right away here today, and it's on. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
I do, because I know that it sounds all really good to get that much sleep, but, like, I have a college daughter who's going biochemistry pre-med. She studies till 1:30 in the morning, and she's not out partying. I mean, that's when you have those kind of classes, like she said, you have to spend that kind of time studying on your honors classes. So what can I do for her?
Well, then, you know, it somehow she still has to get the 7.5 hours of sleep, because actually everything will go into her brain a lot faster, and she will retain this information. So it goes back to managing your time a lot better. You know, we understand that.
I think there's certain curriculums where you have a lot of free time, and I think there's certain curriculums like hers that's, you know, it's not a matter of time management. It's just a matter of that kind of studying to make those grades to try to get into med school.
Well, I think that another way you could maybe take a look at this and have her do this for 3 weeks is to get this sleep, get sufficient sleep, study, and see if in the long run she doesn't retain more information by simply sleeping, and that she actually gets better grades from sleep and not as much study, because she maybe can go through the material once and she'll have it,
uh-huh,
because her brain is working better.
I'll try to talk to her about it.
I mean, it's, you know, I think everybody that you know, students that are really serious, they get caught into that.
Yeah, and she is.
Yep. But it's, you know, I guess just try it for 3 weeks and see if it doesn't make a difference.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. So, you know, just generally, lack of sleep, you know, it really increases the risk of Alzheimer's disease. You know, researchers at University of Washington found sleep-deprived people have abnormal insulin levels, which may cause inflammation in the brain. I mean, that's kind of serious when you have inflammation in the brain. And when you have inflammation in the brain, that's kind of leads to the development of Alzheimer's disease. So there's a lot of factors in all these things going on when people lack sleep. So, Cara, I think what we probably should do is take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. Cutting back on sleep is extremely common response to time pressures in today's society. You know, in 1910, people slept about 9 hours a night. Sounds great to me. And in 1975, people only slept about 7.5 hours a night. And today, the average is less than 7 hours. And a lot of people are sleeping 5 or 6. And millions of shift workers, mothers of small children, students average less than 5 hours a night. So if you're experiencing sleep problems, stay tuned, because after the break, Cara will share steps you can take to correct your sleep problems. If you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cara Carper, nutrition educator and counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavish, licensed nutritionist. As a person with past sleep problems myself, I want to share some steps that have helped me to get about 8 hours of sleep on most nights. So the first step is to stay away from sugar or processed carbohydrates after dinner. So that means no popcorn, no ice cream before bed, no bowl of cereal, candy, or soda. And I know that's what a lot of people are having after dinner or as a bedtime snack.
Right, and then they don't sleep.
Right, and that's because the blood sugar is dropping in the middle of the night
from the
high sugar, high carbohydrate foods. So, but do have a balanced snack. And some great snack ideas would be fresh blueberries and half of an avocado, or maybe half of an apple with real peanut butter, or perhaps a handful of nuts with 6 to 8 grapes, strawberries with some real whipping cream.
How can you go wrong with those kinds of snacks?
Wonderful.
Yes.
So it's really, you know, it's the good fats that helps my blood sugar and everyone's blood sugar remain balanced throughout the night and keep people sleeping through the night. So a bedtime snack like that will not cause us to wake up with low blood sugar at 3 a.m. And I need a lot of peanut butter, you know, at least a couple tablespoons, or cream cheese on celery to keep my blood sugar balanced. So that's really the first step, is always having a balanced snack before bed.
So now I know, Cara, you had kind of a personal sleep problem this week. You want to share that?
Sure. I know I was telling you that before the show. You know, we can know all this, but sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah, we get caught up too.
We do. We're definitely not perfect. And for me, it was the low blood sugar after work that caused me to not eat well.
Okay.
So tell people
the story. What happened to you?
Well, after work, I went to the gym, and then I went to the grocery store. So by the time I got home, it was pretty late, and I was starving. And I felt like I didn't have the energy. I didn't care. I didn't want to make a healthy dinner. So I had some leftover Byerly sushi, which, you know, sushi's not terrible, but it's a lot of rice
and not enough protein,
and really not enough protein, and there wasn't any fat.
Right.
And I didn't eat enough, and so I thought, well, it's late, I don't want to eat any more than this. So I went to bed, and sure enough, just like I said, you know, a minute ago, I woke up at 4 in the morning. I was wide awake.
Okay.
So I got up and I went and I had a snack. I was eating peanut butter out of the jar.
Okay.
But it was too late, and I never could get back to sleep.
So it threw your whole next day off.
It did, yeah.
But I bet there's a lot of people that can relate to your story.
I mean, I bet there are.
Yeah. And, you know, but what lesson did you learn from that one?
Well, you know, it always pays to just take that extra effort, the extra 15 minutes, even when you're tired and starving, to make a balanced dinner.
Yes.
I could have easily made a quick, healthy dinner.
Yes. So let's take a caller here. Hi, Karen. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question today?
Karen? Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am.
Hi, ladies. How are you today?
Good.
Well, as part of a promotional endeavor from another company that does what you do, they gave us two very big jars of Metagenics EPA and DHA, extra strength, and then an intensive multi-care vitamin.
Okay.
Just wanted to know what you, I haven't even opened them, we didn't buy them, I just wanted to know what you thought of that brand.
They're a wonderful brand. They're very professional, well-tested. You know, we carry that brand in our offices, too. It's a wonderful brand. It's one of the best, probably one of the best rated brands in the United States. So you are a lucky, so lucky to get that. Those are great fish oils, and those are great multivitamins.
Well, this is the extra strength star.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
I think it has 600 milligrams of EPA and 400 milligrams of DHA.
Sure.
And so how many do I take a day?
Well, if you have any inflammation, you probably take at least three of those a day, one with each meal.
Okay.
And if you don't have inflammation, if you just want to do it for maintenance, like one of those a day would probably be enough. One or two, you know, I think you can't go wrong taking fish oil.
Okay.
You know, it's a great product. And then so then you've got a multivitamin too.
Right.
And I think the directions on that is probably to take about six a day. And I usually have maybe people take three a day or, you know, sometimes getting that many in is pretty hard for people.
Yeah.
But
I haven't opened the jar, so I have no clue how big they are.
Well, they're big.
Oh, great.
But, so, you know, those are great products.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it. And guess what? The EPA DHA is lemon flavored.
Even better. There
okay.
You are. Sounds
thank you.
Great.
Have a wonderful afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. So, I was thinking we had another caller here, but I think maybe we don't. So, I think we had a caller, and then the person disappeared. So that's okay.
She's still there. Kim's there.
Oh, okay. There
I just
she
didn't have her info.
Oh,
up there.
She didn't. Oh, okay. Hi, Kim. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. What do you recommend for a vegetarian non-fish source for the omega-3s?
I recommend DHA, omega-3 DHA, because the omega-3 DHA is from the algae that the fish eat. So it's a total vegetarian source, but it is an activated form so that it's going to actually help your body. And most people cannot benefit from flax oil any longer because they lack the ability to activate it just because people have been eating trans fats. And often then they cannot activate their flax oil any longer, so it's not really a good source. But the algae part is great.
Where do you get that?
Well, you know, we have it in our offices. I think better quality other nutrition stores have it. But you have to always look for omega-3 DHA, algae, from an algae form.
Okay.
And that's where you find it. So it's a great product.
So don't go right to the flax oils. Go right to the algae that the fish eat.
Yeah, that's right. Much better for you.
That's a great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, just to recap for other people that are listening, what is the difference between the omega-3 regular EPA DHA? That's great for inflammation, and we always recommend if you've for eye health and for brain health, the straight DHA is probably a better omega-3 supplements. So just, you know, but either can be beneficial for both things. So.
All right, Dar. Well, I just wanted to talk about a study at the University of Chicago. It was published just this year, just a couple months ago. They found that lack of quality sleep can lead to insulin resistance and diabetes. And we had talked about earlier how metabolic function was impaired from not sleeping enough.
So basically, that is why researchers found those who slept, 6 hours or less, they had 23%. They were more likely to have obesity than those who slept longer. I mean, just think about that. That isn't a lot of difference in sleep. So people that sleep 7 to 9 hours have less risk of having obesity. So, what we say often is the best weight loss program is to help people get 8 to 9 hours of sleep. It's sort of magical. You sleep away the weight, and people love it. And we see clients all the time. All they have to do is get their 8 or 9 hours of sleep, and suddenly they're less insulin resistant, and suddenly their metabolism is kicking in, and they're feeling great.
It's just amazing how many positive things happen from sleeping enough.
Yes, it is. So Carl, what we're going to do is take a quick break and then come back and take some callers. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education. Next Monday night, November 10th, we are offering a class, Eat, Drink, and Stay Slim This Holiday Season. And that's going to be at our White Bear office, and it's going to be taught by Wendy Cates Dancer. And Wendy has lost 55 pounds and has maintained that weight loss for many, many years by eating just real foods. So Wendy has lots of hints and tips to get you through the holiday season without gaining weight. So call today to sign up at 651-699-3438, or you can go on our website, weightandwellness.com, for any other wonderful class. And when we come back from break, Cara will be sharing some additional tips on how to get a better night's sleep. So questions for us today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. All right, so step two of how to get better sleep. Take 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium glycinate before bed. Studies have found that 63% of us are deficient in magnesium. And for many, simply adding magnesium before bed relaxes the body and the mind, and wonderful sleep follows. So to recap, for good sleep, eat a balanced snack, and take magnesium glycinate before bed.
So we have lots and lots of callers. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question today for us?
I do. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dar, I think it was you that mentioned about a chemical that's coming on the market that tricks your brain into thinking what you're eating tastes good. Did I hear that correctly? What is the chemical, and what should I be looking for?
I don't believe I ever said that one. That wasn't something that I ever said.
Well, it was one of the ladies that mentioned that there's a new chemical that's being added to the food, and that it might not be added to the FDA, or somebody said that it didn't need to be added to the food labels.
Okay.
And that's the reason we shouldn't be eating processed food or something like that. So none of this is ringing a bell.
No, it isn't. Let me find out what that's all about, and we can talk about it next week. So
okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
That's interesting. There's a lot of things there's things that's happening that we just don't even know.
I know. It's scary.
But thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
All right. So I'm going to talk to Sue. Hi, Sue. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Sue, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi, Sue. You have a question today for us, or?
I did. I have a question about, I have to take a class 3 beta blocker because of a cardiac arrhythmia condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I already take fish oil and magnesium, but I have two questions. I wonder if there's any nutritional needs that I would have more than a person who does not take a beta blocker. And I also find that my metabolism is slower, and I'm tired because of the beta blocker, but I have to take it, so...
Yes, well, that's the side effects of beta blockers. It makes you fatigued, and it slows your metabolism, as do many blood pressure medications. Plus, they tend to make most people more insulin resistant. And so, what does that mean? It leads the potential to become diabetic is higher when you take a beta blocker. So what do you do nutritionally? You have to reduce your carbohydrate load. I mean, you just have to be more careful as how you eat when you take a beta blocker, because any of that extra sugar is going to get turned right into body fat immediately for you.
Okay.
So, and then some people, if they spread out their beta blockers so that they take some before bed and then maybe, you know, so they're not taking it, certainly not taking it in the morning, will help reduce the side effects of that sleepiness, fatigue. And, I think always keep consulting with your doctor, because maybe you can take less and less and still keep everything in balance for yourself. So the less of the beta blocker that you have to take, the better it's going to be for your health, you know.
And, I agree. I don't need it for the high blood pressure at all. It's for the arrhythmia.
Right.
So they're not giving me the option of lowering it.
The other thing that helps to support that basic rhythm, heart rhythm, is fish oil. So increasing your fish oil consumption, three or four every day, and then more magnesium, I often talk on the radio that I take 700 milligrams of magnesium every day, and that's for blood pressure maintenance. And so I take four at bedtime, three in the morning, and that helps to balance out that heart rhythm, too. So a lot of things that you can do. And, of course, no sugar.
Do you have any idea if magnesium interferes with the beta blocker?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No,
okay.
It's actually a support. So,
okay.
That's good question, though.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Sue, very much. We're just going to take one more caller. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, how are you?
You have a question today.
Yes, I do. My husband claims that he's like 33, and he claims that he really just doesn't sleep at night. And I feel so bad for him, because we got like a sleep summer bed, and we tried to do things with that to help him sleep better. But he's like, I think it's just ever since we had kids, he just doesn't sleep. And I just don't know what else to do for him. I mean, he drinks like a lot of pop. He stopped chewing tobacco like over a year ago, so he kind of resorted to drinking more pop. But I feel so bad. I don't know what I could do to help him sleep, because I'm like, how can you survive without sleep?
Carrie, yeah. I guess, first of all, this is kind of obvious one, but the pop, I mean, especially if it is caffeinated.
Yeah.
Even a small amount of caffeine for some people, even past noon, can really inhibit sleep.
So, probably, Carrie, you need to make an appointment with, he needs to make an appointment with one of us. And Tara, because she's had some sleep issues herself, she'd be an excellent person to help him. And, it's like you could say the same thing to him, but he's not going to listen. But if he hears it from Tara, he's going to listen.
Right, exactly.
I think if he could even reduce the soda consumption and start with 400 milligrams of magnesium glycinate before bed.
Magnesium, okay.
He could start that right away, and sometimes that's all it takes for people.
Right.
Okay.
So if that doesn't do it, then have him come in for a two-hour appointment, because, it's going to ruin his health if he doesn't get to be able to sleep, and he's so young.
Well, I think he's even gained a little bit of weight. And
exactly. So he's becoming insulin resistant.
Yeah, his cholesterol went up a little bit.
Exactly.
Life insurance, little physical thing. And
yeah.
How can you have higher cholesterol? I mean, it was elevated a little bit. I'm like, you are too young to be having that problem.
Well, it just says what all this research that we talked about actually is showing in his body. Lack of sleep makes that metabolic syndrome, which is higher cholesterol and weight gain.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love the story.
Yeah.
So thanks for calling in today.
You bet. Thank you.
So we're going to take a break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company that brings you life-changing nutrition education. You know, for many people who have experienced poor sleep, there are the inability to sleep or wake up during the night, or simply sleeping 8 hours a night is indeed life-changing. As we know from research studies, lack of sleep alters basic body and brain functions. If you experience sleep problems, make an appointment with one of the nutritionists so that you can actually sleep and you get all the sleep that you need that your health requires. You know, we have offices in Wayzata, St. Paul, and White Bear Lake. And for more tips, Cara's going to come back with more tips. If you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Cara Carper, nutrition educator and counselor. I'm here today with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist. Many women suddenly will develop sleep problems at perimenopause or menopause, and they believe that they're going to be sleep deprived until menopause is over. And that just doesn't have to be the case. We've helped hundreds of women reduce their hot flashes and night sweats and sleep through the night by simply adding natural progesterone cream before bed. So often tough problems like this really have simple nutritional solutions.
You know, I have found that when people make an appointment with a nutritionist and they have their own personalized plan, they achieve their goals. On the other hand, asking family and, you know, friends to give up sugar and caffeine so that they could sleep is not so successful.
Like Carrie.
Because, you know, the advice just isn't taken seriously. But lack of sleep can lead to insulin resistance, weight gain, diabetes, mood disorders, brain fog, high blood pressure, and even irregular heartbeats. So, friend Faye, I hope you're listening. So, should we take another caller?
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi, Sue. You have a question today for us. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. I have two questions, one about cod liver oil and one about sleeping too much.
Okay.
I have been taking Barleen's cod liver oil for 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I feel it's helping me.
That sounds great.
I had worked myself up to 2 tablespoons a day. Is that too much?
I think it's too much. You have to look at how much vitamin A is in there. And I always really I usually recommend a teaspoon of cod liver oil a day. Because what you're really getting in cod liver oil is great vitamin A and a little bit of vitamin D. But, you know, you don't want too much vitamin A.
So, okay. Well, it goes by percentage. It varies.
Yeah, you have to go by how many milligrams. So, and I don't know exactly how many milligrams the Barleen's has in it. It's a good brand, but you have to kind of look at it.
The vitamin A, I'm reading off the bottle right now, is mm-hmm. 950 to 2,450
IUs. Yep.
And that says 19 to 49%.
And how much, what is the serving size on that?
One teaspoon.
That's what you should stay with, 1 teaspoon.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, you had another, you're sleeping too much?
Yes.
Oh, how much is too much?
Well, I'm retired now, but when I get really stressed out, which is easy for me to do. My body and my brain just shut down. I get so fatigued, and I have to go to sleep right away. I can do that now because I'm retired. But when I used to be a teacher, I used to come home, and I ate supper, and then I would just sleep till the next morning.
Well, you know what? I think that your body was saying that's perfect because it was your way of dealing with stress without your health breaking down. And I think that makes sense. So, you know, teaching is a lot of work and lots of stress, so it was perfect for you. So, I don't think you were sleeping too much. You were sleeping the amount of time that your body said it needed.
Didn't have a life, but I got enough sleep.
That's right. So, great, Sue. Thanks for the call today. So, I think we'll take one more caller today. Let's see here, line 3. Hi, Sharon.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
One of your callers mentioned having trouble swallowing large pills,
mm-hmm.
and I have that same problem to the point where it gets stuck in my throat. I've learned to, when it gets stuck in my throat, I take a teaspoon of olive oil, like just swallow it down and it slips right down. Sometimes I've even coated a large pill with some olive oil. And I suppose safflower oil would be just as good, or another type oil, but olive oil is thicker and seems to do the job real quick.
I think that's a great idea. So, yeah, good. Good hint for people. I never had thought about that, so great idea.
All right.
So thanks for the information. So, Cara, I don't know where we're at, but maybe what we'll do is maybe we'll just take a break and then have a little bit of extra time at the end.
Okay.
You know, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, we really appreciate your support for our classes in the community. You know, we have really worked long and hard to bring well-researched information that will help you make changes in your health. You know, we have great information, but best of all, we have very well-trained nutrition educators who present nutrition with interest and passion. And if you have not signed up for the Weight and Wellness classes before, but you still want to make sure that you eat healthy and keep your cholesterol in check, maintain healthy blood sugar numbers, and start the new year pounds lighter, then this is a class that we have for you coming up. The Weight and Wellness series starts next Saturday, November 15th in St. Paul. Now it's, you know, from 9:30 to 11:30 on Saturday morning. You'll hear great information, very motivating teachers. So I look at it this way. This is a great opportunity for you to achieve last year's New Year's resolution. So, you know, you all made that resolution last year to get healthy and maybe lose a few pounds. Well, you still can accomplish it. So call today and sign up at 651-699-3438. You know, these two-hour classes, you know, there's six of them, and they're only $225. But most important, you will actually feel good and look great for the holidays. Thank you.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I know from my own past sleep problems that the solution is usually much more in-depth than taking the most recently advertised sleep supplement or medication. So what we do is we individualize the plan to meet your individual needs. And yes, we do often recommend supplements such as an amino acid called 5-HTP or theanine or GABA. But it's truly amazing that even just cutting out processed carbohydrates and caffeine can work miracles. So that's really the first step that we recommend trying, is just cutting out the junk and the caffeine.
You know, Cara, I think one of the things is that, you know, we talked a little bit about students staying up and that they pull these all-nighters thinking that it's really important to pull all-nighters. I used to have a friend that she'd pull all-nighters and that it was just... what she did was wasn't very good work by the time she, you know, the next day was really bad work then. Mm-hmm. But, and then, you know, and I think that's kind of like a badge of honor if people can not sleep, you know. Oh, I can get by on 2 hours of sleep or 3 hours of sleep. And they just don't really realize that they're breaking down their health. But I think the example that we had today is from that lady that said her husband,
right,
at age
33 34, year old husband,
yeah,
or?
is suddenly developing high cholesterol and insulin resistance, mm-hmm. and that's the beginning of that. So, but for the people that really want some other ideas, now, you know, we said balanced foods, get rid of the sugar. Do you have other ideas? Because you have, you know, you've really worked at this, because this has been a serious issue for you, mm-hmm. for many, many years, and now you're sleeping most nights,
mm-hmm.
except when you goof up.
Right, except for one night this week.
Right. So, you know,
I do have some tips. And,
okay.
You know, not everyone is going to relate to these tips, but even if I can help one person get a better night's sleep,
mm-hmm.
some of the things that I do, and for those who have traveled with me, they've seen my whole regimen. But, you know, I always try to have a dark room.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not a dark room, I actually have an eye mask that wraps around my head to
okay.
keep it dark. That, you know, that will help my body to make melatonin.
Right.
Which helps us sleep.
And that is actually, that's made in our brain from a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we naturally should be making melatonin. And so if you're sleeping with the radio, the lights on, or
the TV.
TV on, you're not making that melatonin, and then you're not going to sleep as well.
Right. It doesn't take a lot of light
exactly.
to inhibit melatonin production. You know, and some people are distracted by the simple sounds in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a fan for white noise.
Okay.
I even travel with a fan.
Okay.
You know, and I told one of my clients, this is a very simple tip, and it works for her. I turn my alarm clock around so that I can't see it.
Yes.
So if I wake up in the middle of the night, you know, sometimes you look at your clock and you see 2 a.m. and you start having anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what time it is, you might not have that anxiety. And that might sound silly, but it worked for one of my clients.
I think that's a great idea.
She was thrilled. So just kind of some simple things. If you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, don't turn the bathroom light on if you can help it.
Exactly.
Maybe have a night light.
Yes, exactly.
Just things like that.
And, you know, I think that some of the other things that, you know, and we want to recap on this just a little bit is you really can't eat high sugar foods before you go to bed. Because what happens is your blood sugar goes up, and then it comes crashing down in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and then you're going to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And those high sugar foods, I mean, popcorn is one of them.
Turns into a lot of sugar.
It turns into a lot of sugar. Beer is another one. You know, I had a client this past week that it's the wine that she was drinking before she would go to bed. You know, it might put her to sleep immediately, but, hey, in a few hours, she was waking up, and then she was also waking up with some hot flashes, and that was because high sugar, and then the blood sugar dropped, and then she would wake up. So it's these little things that will make a big difference for people. You know, I know that you also said before the show that you personally, you use a little bit of progesterone cream, don't you?
I do, and you know, as we age, the first hormone that drops is progesterone, that the levels plummet. So, you know, people I'm not even perimenopause,
no.
but I must have low progesterone because using that cream helps me sleep through the night.
So, and again, a lot of times, and I think this is so interesting, is that so many people, they are having sleep problems for, you know, 25 or 30 years, and they never think in terms of, it's a nutritional problem. I need to go see a nutritionist to change that. They think they might head to a doctor and see if they can get sleep meds, but they never think of that it's something that they're putting in their body, meaning food at night or during the day, like the caffeine, and that's going to make a big difference. And don't you find, Cara, that when people come out of this sleep-deprived state that they've been in for years, that suddenly their health starts to get so much better, their mood gets so much better, their anxiety drops down. It's just like they come out of a fog, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Can you relate to that at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see that all the time. You know, when we have returning clients that start sleeping, it's the first thing they want to talk about is, guess what? I'm sleeping through the night and I'm so excited.
And, you know, I think, too, often that people that only sleep 5 or 6 hours, and that happens, like, if you have to get up and go catch an early flight, this happens to a lot of us, is maybe we'll only get 4 or 5 hours sleep that night, and we hate it, but that's what happens. But then we wake up kind of achy and stiff, and, you know, and so what does that say? It basically says that we've got that inflammation response going in our body because we did not get enough sleep.
Even just for one night.
Just for one night.
We can feel achy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that if you're having trouble sleeping, it's probably one of the first things that you need to correct in your health to correct long-term health problems for yourself. You've got to do something to change that. And, you know, I hear it all the time from people is if they try it in medication, they feel drugged the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And often then the medications only work for a period of time, and then suddenly they're not working, and then they have to increase those levels, and it's just kind of a spiral down, isn't it?
Yep, I mean, Ambien, Lunesta, think about the market for those.
Yes. So So it's very simple. It's a simple solution, you know. We'll say, you know, nutrition can be your problem, or
it can be your solution.
And we want it to be your solution. Thanks for listening today.